CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, we're here. It's live. It's Thursday. And before you've even blinked, it's going to not only be the end of this week, which has been the shortest week, but it's also going to be the end of September. Yes. Oh, madness. Well, we had a big event here last night, so Gugu and Sia and I are pretty damn exhausted, I won't lie. I struggled to wake up this morning. You struggled too, huh?
I did struggle, dude. Yeah. I woke up thinking it was Saturday.
Yeah. Sia, how did you do?
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
See it in his eyes. Look at him. He's got slits for eyes right now.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I woke up this morning, looked in the mirror. I was like, oh, Jesus, really? Okay, yeah. That's that kind of day.
It was good though last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fun. So we had Bonang and Unati and Maschaba and Kuli, and they were all here, and we were just talking about a whole lot of stuff that, you know, the media business, the broadcasting industry, television, kind of the celebrity stuff that all of them are obviously a part of, and their careers, their stories, the people that they are inspired by, the things that they've achieved. It was really interesting, and we spoke, I think it ended up being longer than the guys even.
It did,
almost 2 hours.
Oh.
It was great. Bonang was terrific. Her contribution was really impressive, and you know, she's a polished article. She's just, this is why people like working with her, and this is why she has a good reputation, and this is why I suppose she's done as well as she has, is because she thinks things through. She's careful. She's and by careful, I don't mean that she was holding back on us, because she definitely opened up quite a lot, but she's she's just polished.
Mm.
Unati let it all hang out,
yeah,
which was great. And I mean, that's how I know her. And it's the kind of Unati that I want other people to know about, because she's absolutely one of the nicest people in the business.
Mm.
She's got a sense of humor. She's just lovely.
She's quite a character, actually. Yeah. I'd never met her until yesterday. And
yeah,
she's quite a, I mean, she walked in here and started doing squats. She's like, look at my booty.
Okay.
And for the first time, I was able to look at a female's booty without feeling bad, because she, you know what I mean?
So that's how someone must make an impression
that's
on
you. That's how you make an impression.
Yeah, I mean, she told me to look and she started doing squats. Like,
he knows himself, so
and I was like, okay, yeah. Well, I'll look then. Can't let it go to waste.
Seemed to surprise me.
I worked out that I've known her for 21 years.
What?
Jeez.
Yeah.
So as long as she has been alive.
We kind of grew up in the business together. And then Maschaba, I haven't met before.
She was good.
She was great.
Yeah.
And Kuli is just insane. Like I said to Gugu afterwards, she's crazy. But she's lots of fun.
Yeah. My goodness. I don't know what the Mboya household feeds their children.
Yo.
But to then see Hlubi and Kuli in one room, or I just want to be at their house on, like, for Sunday lunch.
Well, they have,
yikes,
inside them
energy.
Both. There's like a, it's almost like a nuclear reactor,
wow.
Right? That's just producing this enormous energy, because they both have, it's sometimes overwhelming.
Mm.
It is overwhelming. Kuli was just bouncing off the walls like a little tick.
Yeah.
Just all over the place.
Well, there's lots of stuff to talk about today. We've got the guys from Troy Gold popping in for the last episode of that series that we're doing with them about, you know, what you should know about gold and investing with gold.
Second to last.
Yes. And we've got the Burning Platform with Canthan Pillay and our return guest, Kaius Tole, who everybody loved the first time he came by. So he's been booked again for this morning by Sia. All right, so we got lots of things to get to.
Oh, by the way, the Pure Conversations, a few brave broadcasters, podcast and videos already up and available right now.
Available.
I have to be that panty person.
Thank you. It's all on cliffcentral.com. Go along and you can listen to it and you can find out what is happening in those amazing women's minds, and you can hear about their journeys, where they've been, what they've done.
And everything in between.
And everything in between.
I mean,
it
even
was wild.
We got into relationships. Yeah. We got into really interesting stuff. Mm. So if you feel like it, that's the place to start.
You are right. It's way longer than the guys.
Really?
1 hour, 52 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah.
I said to them at the beginning, if we just do an hour, I'm happy. Uh-huh. And they're all like, yeah.
It started off slow, though, hey? It started off, it gained momentum very slowly.
Well, people forget that's how any good conversation starts. Mm. If you start a conversation hot, it's either because you know each other really well already, or because you're in a hurry.
Ah. It was a good build-up.
Didn't want to rush it.
Yeah.
But it was very good. I will admit, it was a very difficult thing for me to facilitate because they spoke over each other. I mean, Unati and Kuli were shouting on the microphone.
They were swallowing that mic.
Yeah.
Like, Kuli knows how to rock the mic.
No, she doesn't. That's the problem. Like, she's been in front of microphones.
Well, not the literal mic, the other mic.
Yeah, these are broadcast professionals, and they were shouting at each other the whole time. You know, the levels were all over the place, and there was nothing I could do. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here. Survived.
All right, so here's a message for all of us to start our morning. Mm-hmm. Okay. I appreciate you all. You guys are in early, are we?
Huh.
We usually start somewhere around 6. I'm not fanatical about it because sometimes things happen and you've got to get it ready, and I'd rather start the show properly after, you know, 2, 3, 5 minutes than start it in a rush and then things aren't working. Plus, we had to just make sure the studio is all sorted after last night.
Yeah, I couldn't even moisturize properly this morning.
Oh, no.
I thought, you know what?
No.
If you guys truly love me, you'll love me as an ashy, dry person this morning. Rolled out of bed. I'm like, okay. What time did you get to bed yesterday? Because I felt like as soon as I got home, there was still this buzz because we were so busy and we were rushing out and about.
I got
yesterday
into bed. I was gone.
I struggled straight to fall away. Asleep.
What time did you?
Yeah.
Yes, so I was gone. 11-ish.
And I could still hear my phone beeping because, you know, there were still a lot of people on the team who were sorting some things out. Mm-hmm. And my phone was beeping, and you try to be that diligent person and not flip your phone over. Supposedly then the light distracts you.
You're too kind, boy. I'll turn it off. Whenever I sleep, whether it's during the day or at night, off. You'll find me when I wake up. Yeah.
That is healthy.
Not even on silent. No. You switch your phone off.
Flight mode. Put it on flight mode.
That's even better. Yeah.
You're not going to find
flight
me.
Mode.
Or disturb me.
Dude, you know that's good for you.
Oh, that makes me so nervous.
No, that's really good for you.
Yeah.
You can't sleep with your phone buzzing on your bedside table.
Uh-uh.
Plus, it's constantly giving off and receiving.
That's my biggest fear.
Waves and. You can't. How good is that to lie next to your head?
Every single day. How, your brain cells right now, how are they feeling?
Yeah, look, if we decide to speak about that, then standing in front of a microwave has, I don't know, taken my sperm count down. Who knows? But I just have a little nervousness
around it. So you didn't
sleep
because the phone was just buzzing the whole time?
I ignored it after a while. But I think I fell asleep easily at about like 12:30.
Sure. I was gone by then.
Yeah, so I'm riding. I'm riding for now.
Okay. A few things that we said we wanted to talk about this morning. Where shall we begin?
Somewhere.
Yeah, what do you want to begin with?
Well, I've just been noticing this Amy Lee Diakhis scandal just deeper and juicier and juicier.
What's the latest?
There's now like a lot of suspects who are appearing in court. And yesterday there was a fourth suspect who appeared in court.
So as I understand it, here's what happened. This couple needed money because they had debts with some rough people.
Ay.
So in order to pay those debts, they conceived of a plan where they would kidnap this little girl.
Mm.
And supposedly her parents would find a way to get the money. That was their plan.
Yeah, so they're now being charged with kidnapping and, for that whole plan, extortion as well. And there are four people in total who've now appeared in court. Yesterday's suspect was the final of the four who appeared. And this person is now saying, I actually can't afford to continue on with this process. So instead of having a full day in court, they had to apply for legal aid yesterday.
Have they got to the guy at the end who?
Yeah. So his name is Mohlomi Bafokeng. You're 24 years old. Yikes.
What are your age group doing?
I can't imagine my life being like this.
Dude.
Like his life will never be the same, regardless of.
How old is he?
He's 24 years old. He's my age.
Imagine. It's finished.
His life will never be the same. Even if he spends 2 months or 2 years or
So he's the one who threatened to kidnap the original couple that owed him money's child, unless they paid him.
I'm not sure.
At 24 years old, he's got balls of steel.
Yeah. And as you say, he's ruined his life now.
Yes, yes.
Well, they all have. I still stand by what I said on the show a while ago, saying even with the mother who's involved with this, as the rest of the family, and I know, you know, it's a bit of a blanket statement, but you know, mothers are meant to be the nurturers, ones who really look after the home. I will not trust you at the dinner table anymore.
Well, no, I think these people have ruined their lives, their children's lives. You know, that little girl is always going to be known as the girl who was kidnapped by these horrible people. And they're always going to be known as kidnappers. You're certainly not going to allow them into your house. I don't think any of their friends are still going to be their friends after this. And then this guy, who obviously wanted his money back because they owed him the money. And that's fine. That's fair. But to threaten to kidnap someone's kid?
That kid is going to
I take your kid.
What accent
is
that?
I don't know. I suck at accents.
Your accents are terrible.
Okay, you try. You go. You do it.
Do what?
No, Gareth must do it.
I don't know who he is. I don't know what he
Nigerian.
Sounds like.
Nigerian.
No, he's not Nigerian.
Mahlomi.
Mahlomi is local.
Is he local?
You sounded like a mix of Speedy Gonzalez and that Somalian pirate in that Tom Hanks movie.
All right, here's an interesting point. Jesus Sia, just put honey on your face. Best moisturizer and much better than the chemical cuck that they sell you in the cosmetics store. Oh. And plain yogurt, apparently.
What do you put on your face? Yesterday he came in here glistening like Vaseline and shit.
Eddie.
I wouldn't like to be followed by bees. So thanks,
Eddie says that's what you should be using.
I'll give that a bit of a skip for now.
Did you guys see that video of the drunken cop? Like he was drunk.
You just sent it to me. So there's a video of this.
Yeah.
Let me just play you some of the audio.
Proper drunk.
He's going to arrest him, and then he's going to drive away from another car. Here's where the car is. The police is here. Tientalle police cars.
The guy is so unsteady on his feet.
In uniform.
He's got his arms up, the cop. The guy who's talking is not the cop. Here he is, this is the cop.
Is it in the road?
Where did this happen?
I have no idea, but it's clearly Joburg.
It happened here in Johannesburg.
And he's really hammered this policeman. Hammered.
And he's armed. They had to take the gun off him. Imagine.
Well, everyone noticed him because he nearly crashed into a biker in Benoni. And he started not taking blame of this almost accident, and then bystanders were around, and then eventually those bystanders actually called the JMPD as well. So his colleagues and his supervisor were also brought in as well. This is just a
How
lot.
Do you get like proper boost drunk during the day in uniform? That's what I don't get.
Well, I think a lot of these people have just got horrible lives. It's not an excuse because you've got a job to do and you, as you say, you're armed.
Jeez.
But they've got horrible lives. I mean, imagine being a metro policeman. Where's your happiness there every day? I've met some of these guys. I mean, exactly, but that's not happiness. Just think about how every interaction you have with another human being is horrible.
Yo, but when we say puza face.
Yeah, this guy had a puza face.
Yay!
And his shades on.
When we say puza face.
It's bad. It's a real puza face. All right, well.
This is the power of puza face. Puza face makes black crack.
Good morning from Stressville. Pray for me, people. Sure, this is a desperate message here from Anushka. She says, I am about to head up the biggest project of my entire career. If I succeed, I will be walking on water. If I fail, I will have to ask Sia for a job as his personal assistant. Stakes are high.
Do you guys want to pray for her?
Well, good luck, Anushka.
Look, Anushka, if you fail, you'll be walking on water like Terrence Howard yesterday.
Yeah, you'll just have to talk nonsense.
Yeah, wave of projectile waves.
Oh, please. What did he say?
Flower of life.
Yeah.
Just like Pythagoras.
Make nonsense up. That's what you got to do. DPWare says, good morning. You guys at Cliff Central are geniuses. That Pure Conversations last night was excellent. The ladies are real people. Gareth, you're one of the best interviewers I've experienced. Cliff Central forever. Well, thank you. It helps when you've got people who are interesting. But I will not lie, it was very, very difficult to herd those tigresses. And if you ever tried to
corral them.
Ever tried to herd a tigress, it's not an easy job. So, yeah, lots of fun. The Democrats, this is from Graham. Graham says, Democrats think they're going to impeach Trump. Do you reckon all the left will ever admit they were wrong or that they will forever call Donald a Nazi? They are pathetic. Also, Greta wants you to panic. Panic more. How dare you? Well,
look, they might want to impeach Trump the same way they wanted to storm Area 51.
But how did that go?
Did it even go?
What happened? Nothing. Did anything happen?
Nothing. I just saw a random old woman rant on Facebook.
How dare you? Nothing actually happened.
Are we surprised?
Well, of course we're not surprised because most of the people on the internet are not real people. They don't really believe in all this stuff. They say a lot and they pretend a lot and they get uptight and angry and they get emotional. But actually, deep down inside, they don't care because they're mostly the people who are on the internet have got a meal in their stomachs. They have a bed to sleep in and they have data. So they, what are they going to get up and risk their life to go and storm Area 51 for? Are you surprised? No. Hell no.
I wonder what the actual numbers were because a couple of people did end up going, but I don't believe anything as well because, I mean, in this day and age, no one was on Instagram Live. No one was posting different photos.
No. Also, you can't get close to that place. You can't. They've got huge fences around it. The military patrol it the whole time. It's in the middle of the desert, so you'd have to drive for a day and a half to get there.
All I saw was people in Nevada, the state of Nevada, ended up like dressing up as aliens and partying.
Yeah, they probably had like a mini Burning Man. Well, that's what they would have done.
That moves people more than actually finding out whether they're real aliens or not.
Yeah, it's just another party. Just imagine that everyone is more like Kendall or Caitlyn Jenner. What's the other one's name?
Kylie Jenner.
Yeah. Okay. They're more like Kendall or Kylie Jenner than they are like Barack Obama. Really, that's how people are.
What do you mean?
Dumb shit.
I win.
They're just dumb and self-absorbed and interested in, and just like indulgent. They're not really interested in changing the world. Yeah. It's like all these people who are going on about, you know, this Greta's such a hero, a climate change hero. Well, no, it's so easy to complain, and all she's done is complain. This girl got up there on stage at the UN, and of course everybody's upset about the fact that the world is not in the greatest condition and we don't seem to be doing a very good job of being stewards of the earth. But we know that. We know that. It's all over the news all the time. What have you got solution-wise? And of course, when you put a child up there, you don't have to come up with solutions.
Not to get into it.
Children don't have a solution to climate change. You put the smartest adults in the room and they don't know how to solve climate change. And you put the kid up there, so then what you're doing is creating an excuse where you don't have to answer with solutions. Oh, she's just a child. Well, then hire an actress. If you just want an emotional reaction, hire Julianne Moore. She can put on, she can make the tears roll. Oh, the earth! Oh, we're killing the earth! Ah, everything's burning! The fucking Amazon is burning! Ah, the oceans are boiling! And the Arctic is melting! Oh, fuck! No, we're all gonna die! Do that. Put the Swedish chick with the pigtails up there. It's just unnecessary.
Okay.
The poor little girl's got so much abuse as well.
Yeah,
she didn't ask for this.
Now.
Damn it. Not to get into it as much as we did yesterday, but is it basic of me to...
Basic nigger?
In this... Please don't call me that.
What?
No, don't use that word.
Yeah, continue.
Don't, actually. I agree with...
Yeah. He doesn't like that.
Just don't.
No, I just don't think it's
so
a good word.
So in the times that we're in...
Yeah.
Is it basic of me to recognize at least people have good intentions?
Sure, but I assume everyone has good intentions until they prove otherwise.
I was about to say the same.
Okay, but I think, you know, sure. So maybe
Greta and
her friend Heidi were just at school and she's worried about life and she wants to do good.
So what's she done?
I don't know. She's just going
what
around
difference
saying.
She made?
Here's the problem. She's going to countries that are already lowering their carbon emissions every day. Mm-hmm. The US and Europe have been lowering their carbon emissions. They are less polluting than they've ever been in their history, right? Countries like China and India, if she goes there, you know what's going to happen? You won't ever hear from her again. She'll disappear. But she's not going to President Xi, because when President Xi doesn't like you, or you start talking about how he's going to slow down his economy because you're worried about the air or the oceans or pollution or plastic or deforestation, do you know what he does? He drives a tank right over your 16-year-old body. He's done that before. So it's not – and China's emissions are by a mile ahead of everyone else's. So if you really want to, here's the difficult, the solutions to climate change are hard. They are impossibly hard. They are not things that we can just solve like that. As a result of the fact that they are hard, it requires an enormous amount of thought, technological innovation, a mass mobilization to a degree. That stuff's not going to happen because someone's on TV or on some panel shouting and screaming and being emotional. It'll happen when it affects people. And you know what? It is affecting more and more people every day. But the people it's affecting are not in the countries that Greta Thunberg is visiting.
The geniuses are on it, Gareth. The boffins are working on reducing climate change. I know in the car world... people have had to reduce emissions. Every manufacturer is downscaling in terms of engine size.
Even the mines, so that you said the car world, because obviously that's one of the areas that people are blaming for the carbon emissions, which is fair enough. It is a major polluter. So is agriculture, so is industry. Here's an interesting point. And by the way, they've labeled this kind of thing eco-hysteria. So this eco-hysterical girl called Greta is the victim of a psychological terrorism campaign that's now targeting all children. Because, of course, she's going to believe what she's been told by other eco-hysteria, you know, advocates. They can't convince rational adults that the world will end in 10 years, so they must terrorize the children and roll them out on TV, crying and screaming in emotional fits of rage. This is what the delusional, dangerous left has come to. Psychological terrorism of children to push a global enslavement agenda founded on a complete hoax. And that's very, very interesting description from Brendan this morning. Shame, if the climate change girl goes to India and China, they will eat her. She looks like a scared baby chicken, ready for some spice and teriyaki sauce and basting. Peace and love, peace and love. I'll ignore, Anishka, that's just slightly racist. Can Gogo please try a little hard, Gugu, I think they mean, try a little harder getting the podcast loaded after the show. Flax used to be on it when it came to loading the podcasts after the show.
Who's this? What's their name?
Their name is... Chris, and he wants his podcasts faster. Gogo. So get it together.
If that's how you're going to try to get it faster, Chris, good luck.
No, you're going to do it because that's exactly right. That's why you're here.
No, I do it, but...
Faster.
Good
faster,
luck,
slaves. Faster.
You know the tone that's
going on? I don't know what's going on here.
Apparently, Greta's parents are Antifa supporters. Well, no wonder about that because that's... Of course they're activists. They pushed her into this. What other 16-year-old grows up like that? She should, like she even said, I should be in school. Yes, you should.
Oh, okay. Just looked at her whole family.
Yeah, they're all pretty deranged.
I don't put words into my mouth.
They're deranged. These are bored. And you know what? Okay. All of this eco-hysteria, guess who it is? It's bored, elitist white people who go to college... And want to have a struggle. They want to have their own struggle. So guess what they do? They find something. And now currently the thing is the environment. So this is their thing. Get their fucking pubic hair in a tangle about the environment.
Oh, goodness.
But nothing about the good intentions sustained.
No, I don't. Listen, there's no way that this isn't some orchestrated idea. There is no way. With good intentions... She'd be doing this stuff anyway. You know, there are social workers all over this country who are right now going off into far-flung places that are probably quite dangerous to counsel kids who've had the most horrible experiences. Mm. There are psychologists and psychotherapists who are sitting in offices today counseling people who have real problems. There are nurses and people who care, people, teachers, community leaders who are going out there doing this stuff. They're not being asked to go on TV in front of the UN. They're making a real difference. I don't buy this stuff for a second. And it's not like we need more awareness. People are aware. People know what's going on with the environment because guess what? We live in it. I drive to work every day and all I see on the sides of the road in South Africa is litter. And you know what the funny thing is? A lot of the people who are complaining the loudest about, you know, we've got to do this, back Greta and all this stuff, they're the ones who they use, they are constantly on their phone, so they're using electricity the whole time. They probably have thrown away more software than any other person in their neighborhood. They eat food out of non-biodegradable containers. They shop for things that are covered in so much packaging. It's just crazy. And then these are the same people who want to lecture everyone else about how to save the environment. I think it's just projecting your guilt somewhere else. That's what it is.
Hmm. Moving on.
Anyway, here's another point. This is someone else who says that they agree that the podcast should be loaded quicker. I get withdrawal symptoms if I don't get my GCS fixed. That's from Tony. Oh. Sorry, Tom. Tom. So there. So you, Google, you've got work to do.
Hmm.
And then Casey says, good morning, guys. Sia, you are not my favorite at all, but I used to work in cosmetic R&D.
What does that mean?
Research and development. Turmeric and honey face masks are the best. There we go, Sia.
Can't you hook me up with a connection? Since you know some people. Just go buy that, bro.
Turmeric and honey you can buy.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, in his
the cosmetic.
Past life, yes. I also have another list. You know, our listeners are so hooked up, actually. Someone DM'd me yesterday because I need to find out their name exactly. Liza Fisser, who just had to rub it in my face a bit. She DM'd me and sent me a photo saying, look who surprised us at work today. It was the Duchess. Who walked into her office.
Wow.
It was.
What, did she just walked in?
Yeah. Squinting at the photo, there's some sort of banner in the background that says top tech tools for women in business. So I presume Liza's in that space right now. And she says, I also know Hi Rob. We used to party together in high school.
Huh. Wow. Hi Rob loved yesterday when Gugu went after Gord about the toilets. Yeah.
Gord is not happy with me, eh?
Why?
I don't know, because he just went all defensive over that yesterday. And I wasn't lying.
You spoke to him afterwards?
Yeah, he said he's not my friend anymore. Don't know what that means.
Yeah, I wouldn't take that too seriously.
I was like, yo,
he'll be fine. He'll get over it.
Yeah, there's something very playground.
All right, someone sent me this clip, which I have to play for you quickly. Apparently, this is related to what we were just saying. So I think maybe this is a better summation of why I find all of this stuff about climate change so annoying. Listen to this guy.
Prompted this piece that someone sent to me. I thought I'd share it with you. It's called Growing Up.
It's from Sky News Australia.
Commentaries on this global warming hoax have had greater relevance than this. I think I might send it to Al Gore. And it says this. To all the school kids going on strike for climate change, you're the first generation who've required air conditioning in every classroom. You want TV in every room, and your classes are all computerized. You spend all day and night on electronic devices. More than ever, you don't walk or ride bikes to school, but you arrive in caravans of private cars that choke suburban roads and worsen rush hour traffic. You're the biggest consumers of manufactured goods ever, and update perfectly good, expensive luxury items to stay trendy. Your entertainment comes from electric devices. Furthermore, the people driving your protests are the same people who insist on artificially inflating the population growth through immigration, which increases the need for energy, manufacturing and transport. The more people we have, the more forest and bushland we clear, the more of the environment that's destroyed. How about this? Tell your teachers to switch off the aircon, walk or ride to school, switch off your devices and read a book, make a sandwich instead of buying manufactured fast food. No. None of this will happen because, the piece says, you're selfish, badly educated, virtue-signaling little turds, inspired by the adults around you, who crave a feeling of having a noble cause while they indulge themselves in Western luxury and unprecedented quality of life. The piece ends by saying, wake up, grow up, and shut up until you're sure of the facts before protesting.
That's, isn't that great? I love that. That's spot on. I mean, there it is.
Oh, man.
Bit of a criticism of that generation before they start trying to criticize everyone else. How dare you? Well, how dare
how
you?
How dare you? Exactly.
All right. Enough about Swine. That. Because I'm really actually kind of bored with it. Okay. Retired Justice Edwin Cameron has been elected Stellenbosch University Chancellor. I don't know if this is important.
And this is a good move for him.
It's great because it gives him something to do. He's no longer on the Constitutional Court. But really, a Chancellor doesn't do anything.
But we all always...
They go that ceremony once every year or twice a year where they hand over the degrees. That's all they do.
We always speak about how, you know, there's so much experience in older people and they just almost get shucked out of positions and that's it. I think this is great, you know. Just because he's retired doesn't mean he has to stop putting input in.
Oh, no, for sure. And he is a Stellenbosch alumnus, so that's where he studied. An overwhelming majority of the alumni elected him as chancellor. He takes over from Johann Rupert as the institution's 15th chancellor next year. The rector and vice-chancellor Wim de Villiers said, I'm so pleased that Stellenbosch University has elected retired Justice Edward Cameron. He has immense stature and it would be a privilege to work with him in the future. So that's very nice. Good for him. I don't know why, but we live in a country where the president has to warn teachers to please not have romantic and sexual relationships with pupils.
Well, yeah.
I'm just parking that there. I don't even know what to say about it. But the president actually said this. He urged teachers to stop initiating romantic and sexual relationships with pupils. He was addressing the Congress of South African Democratic Teachers Union, that's SADTU, in Johannesburg at Nasrec on Wednesday. The South African schooling system is facing a massive challenge of teenage pregnancy, with experts saying adults, including teachers, are to blame for the problem. Ramaphosa said that SADTU, who is the majority union in the education sector, should work with other stakeholders to put a stop to this. The abhorrent behavior must be decisively addressed and it must be stopped. As educators, your job is that of a parent to the children who come to the school. You're not supposed to be lovers of those children.
Imagine that.
But imagine having to say it.
Yeah. Why do we need to even go that far?
What a twisted bunch of people.
Twisted society.
SADTU are that they think, I mean, within its ranks, SADTU is protecting people like this. And it's outrageous. Mm. It's crazy. He also promised tighter security measures at school to improve the working conditions of teachers. Educators have come under violent attacks from pupils across the country in recent months. In its secretariat report, SADTU endorses Education International's declaration that schools should be safe sanctuaries. And I don't think anyone disagrees with that. The Labour Court was expected to deliver judgment on the banking shutdown interdict Thursday. Business Unity South Africa wanted the court to declare the looming banking sector strike as unprotected. The sector's largest union, SASBO, said that over 40,000 finance sector employees are expected to take part in a strike against retrenchments in the industry on Friday.
So, I mean, what does it mean when they say it's unprotected? Are they not getting paid?
No, it is a protected strike. In other words, it's a legal strike, so they're allowed to. They're still not going to get paid. You don't get paid when you strike.
Oh, good.
An unprotected strike is one where you don't have the police looking after things and it's something that just happens. It's not always good.
It's like a little wildfire.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Kasatu guys have said that Busa had more than a month to go back to Nedlac to find a remedy. You see, this is like strike law has become a huge part of South Africa's law. Because we have so many strikes. And it's the only way that people in South Africa deal with being unhappy in business.
That's crazy.
And you know what? Like we said yesterday, the reason this is happening is because these people in the banking sector are being replaced by machines. So there's no work for them. So why should the bank carry on employing you if there's no work for you?
For me, it sucks, Garrett, because I mean, I care about people and I go to McDonald's here down the road a lot and they always try to push me towards the self-service machine thing.
And I hate that because I want to deal with the person.
Yeah, but they give you the option.
No, but what's going to happen like a year or two down the line? It's slowly getting to a point where they're going to phase out the people and you're only going to be dealing with the machine.
Most people don't like to deal with people.
Okay, well,
most people just want to get online and do it.
Anyway.
Look, banking, do you really want to deal with...
Margaret behind the teller.
No, you don't.
No, I don't want to deal with her. No.
Exactly. So I'm sorry, Margaret's going to have to find something else to do. All right, the NPA have decided not to prosecute government officials implicated in the Life Estimani tragedy. I don't know why. This is an obvious, egregious harm that has been committed by government. I don't know why we're giving them special protection. Let's just remember there were 144 people who were killed because of negligent or purposeful action by government officials in the Gauteng Health Department that sent mentally ill people to places where they were going to die. They weren't looked after. This is one of the most depressing chapters in South Africa's history. And this, by the way, is the greatest argument against the national health insurance. If you want to know what kind of a country we're going to have, if Zweli Mkhize, as the Minister of Health, gets his way and gets NHI and abandons and abolishes private medical aid, this is the kind of country we'll live in. A country of continuous life estimani.
Sure, imagine that.
And not one person is going to be prosecuted. People have died. The families say they just want closure. Well, I think we need more than closure. I think we want justice. I can't believe that the NPA don't... There's enough evidence to show that these were decisions which should have been made differently, that should have been taken more seriously by people like Gedani Mahlangu. Seriously? How can the NPA back off of this? It's like if you and I commit a crime, any of us do something wrong, we have to face up for it. We have to go to court. We have to go on trial. We have to hire lawyers. And if we've committed a crime, we go to jail.
Yeah.
If you're the MEC for Health in Gauteng and 144 people die because of your direct actions,
it's okay.
NPA drops the charges. It's not such a big deal. It's a bigger deal because when you're in government, there's more responsibility, not less. If someone doesn't go to jail for this, I reckon we should cause some serious trouble. This is unacceptable, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels this way. I remember how upset I was with the story, and it hasn't gone away. And then finally, this is a great headline from ENCA, but it's just not true. Transgender man who gave birth is child's mother.
Mother or father?
A transgender man who gave birth but did not want to be registered as the child's mother on the birth certificate lost a legal battle in England's High Court on Wednesday. Freddie McConnell was born as a woman, but has lived as a man for several years.
Okay.
He was biologically able to get pregnant and give birth because he's a woman.
Right.
Right? I mean, he's a woman. He's got a woman's body.
It's confusing. He's a woman or she's a woman.
Well, it's a psychological illness because the guy, clearly, he's imagining that he's a man, and that's fine. You're allowed to. But don't expect medical professionals to write down father when... You have a vagina that the child's come out of.
Dude. You gave birth like a woman.
You gave birth. Which
you have
means,
a womb.
Thank you. Then you're a woman.
Justice. Imaginary man.
I mean, I can imagine I'm an elephant, but I'm not allowed to write that on my birth certificate.
That's funny.
I can imagine that I'm one of the My Little Ponies, but I can't write that on my birth certificate. I'm sorry. It's just unbelievable.
That
this is an issue. Like, don't tell me that everything's okay. If you have you're born as a woman, you become a man, supposedly.
Imaginary man.
And then you have... Imaginary man. That's exactly right. Then you have a child, because you're actually physically, genetically a woman, because a man can't do that. And then you still want to be called a man after that. The hospital's like, but we've got to register you as the mother.
You gave birth to this thing. Damn it.
Well, don't call the thing. I mean, it's a nice child,
okay,
probably.
Fine. It's got a name, probably. Child, yeah, exactly. Okay.
Anyway,
sorry.
So Freddie McConnell, who I don't know what Freddie's name was when Freddie was still a woman, but good luck to you. I mean, this is great. So he's actually...
She.
It's he. Because even though we know biologically it's a she, he wants to be called a he. So fine, we'll call you a he. We'll keep up the... the farce. We'll play your game.
Imaginary games, yeah.
We'll play your game, Freddy. So you, Freddy, he goes to court and the court's like, nah, come on.
Stop playing.
Yeah, this is not on. So there we go. President of the Family Division of the High Court ruled against him. That's Andrew McFarlane. There is a material difference between a person's gender and their status as a parent. Being a mother, whilst hitherto always associated with being female, is the status afforded to a person who undergoes the physical and biological process of carrying a pregnancy and giving birth. Mm-hmm. You don't say. I think that's what they teach you in the textbooks. And that's never tried to teach me anything else. All right. More important and far more exciting things we're going through in the world at the moment. There's always a lot of uncertainty. And Iran are busy causing trouble in the Persian Gulf. And you can see the oil prices going up and down. They bombed some Saudi facility the other day. People are worried about that. They're worried about Trump and his China trade deal. It's a very, very good deal, according to Trump, but it seems to have plunged world trade into uncertainty. So who do you talk to in those uncertain times? Well, you talk to the guys at Troy Gold, and I'll tell you why. They have an innovative and brilliant local South African product which will allow you to own gold fractionally. How does that work? Well, both of them are here to talk to Spotted Bastiat and Dane Fulyun. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hi, Gareth. Thanks, Gareth.
Nice to see you two again. So, for those people who haven't been paying attention up to now, fractional ownership of gold, 24/7 liquidity. You've got the technology to be able to do live pricing. It's a turnkey solution for anyone who's interested in investing in gold or using gold as their currency, effectively. You can use Troy Gold.
Right, yeah, I guess just to give you the elevator pitch again, we are a fintech company and we make it easy for anyone to save and invest in real physical gold in any quantity, anywhere, anytime from your mobile phone. Yeah. So that's a
elevator. And don't worry, because this is something kind of stupid that I asked them before, but they treated me with respect and gave me an answer even though it was a stupid question. They're not going to bring the gold to your house and give it to you in your hand. Oh, you ordered 500 rands worth of gold, and they bring a little glass bottle with some gold in it. You own it, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in your hand, and it isn't necessarily stored at their place either. They actually own parts of the gold reserve in a proper vault somewhere, right?
Right, yeah. But that is actually one of our features. So if you do want physical possession of your gold, the redeem function allows you to simply, you know, redeem your gold, and we bring it to your home in secure.
Oh, wow. So kind of like that.
Secure armored vehicle, yeah.
I like that.
And there's actually also the converse of that. So an interesting fact is there's about 58 billion rands worth of Kruger rands in people's homes, and that's a safety risk. And it's also an idle asset because there's no liquidity to that. So our upload function, the converse of the redeem function, allows you to upload your Kruger rands to our app. We come and fetch it by secure courier. Wow. And then you have complete control over it over the app and access the other liquid features.
We've spoken for 2 weeks. I didn't know this until now. See, there's much to learn.
I think we've sort of really emphasized the point of the fractional sort of ownership technology. Uh-huh. And that was, you know, I think the first show we talked about democratizing gold. And, you know, in layman's terms, that was just to enable it to, or enable anyone to become a gold owner. And we actually had a review yesterday where one of our users wrote, "We need to spread the gospel of gold that this company has made possible to ordinary people like myself." And I think that was initially, you know, mentioned you didn't know about all the other features of the app. But initially, that's our big drive, right? We're advocates for gold and the power of gold and the protection that it offers. So, yeah, just in a nutshell, I thought the best way to explain that is to have a look at the process that gold actually goes through in our app or in our system. You know, Bass said we can collect the gold, you can upload it, you can redeem it, so we can deliver it. But once we acquire a 1 ounce Krugerrand coin, you know, it sort of gets bagged and tagged. So gets a unique serial number, goes into the vault, gets a unique serial number, and that gets uploaded into our tech system. So our tech can basically split up a Krugerrand coin into a million pieces, and each little fraction or divisible portion of it gets an ID. So you can own. So that's why you can own real gold, even at 10 rand or 100 rand, etc. So
I think that's amazing. I mean, governments buy gold and they stockpile gold because it gives them a basis for their currency, right? You have to have something of value, and gold, even according to governments, which are the least risky of all the possible kind of investors in the world, they are likelier to have some store of a precious metal of a kind than almost anybody. So it's not as if this is entirely novel idea. You said it last time, I think 6,000 years of trading in gold, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I think you actually hit the nail on the head there. I think we are living through an unprecedented monetary experiment in history. And that's one of fiat paper currencies. So whether it be the rand or the US dollar, all governments are effectively just creating these paper tickets out of thin air with no intrinsic value. There is actually no gold backing your rands. So what this creates is massive debt bubbles, inflations, financial collapses, as right. we're seeing. So there's no
booms and busts.
Yeah, booms and busts.
So Gareth has a book here called "The Creature from Jekyll Island" that we just saw, and that's sort of the mantra of the Bible for all gold bugs.
Yeah. So I think the point is there's no value, there's no intrinsic value to your money anymore, and I think that's effectively our vision. We're trying to give people an alternative to this fiat-based paper financial world where they can store their wealth in actual real physical gold. But I think the bigger vision is for us to allow people to actually manage their affairs in gold, whether that be buying a coffee in gold or accessing a mortgage to your house, all in physical gold. So I think that's the big scary.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, it to me makes perfect sense. And I think also you guys are not saying take all your money and turn it into gold and use gold as your currency, like you might, you know, the Bitcoin advocates are saying you should do. What you're saying is take a small amount of your portfolio and put it into this. It's probably going to be safer in the long run. And gold's price has gone up and up and up over the years because there's a limited supply. I mean, when we talk about, there's only so much gold in the world, and alchemists tried to make more.
Yeah.
You know, it's not possible. Because you can only mine so much gold, it's a heavy metal, it's rare. As a result of that, there's going to be an increase in its value over time as more and more people want it.
Yeah, as you said, you have to actually invest a significant amount of resources to extract it. So it's not like the paper world where you can just print it out of thin air. So that does give it that intrinsic value. And you mentioned that everyone should own gold in their portfolio. I think the biggest problem that people have is gold does not earn a yield like your stocks and your bonds. And I think that's why there's such a pushback against that. But first of all, you have to recognize that gold is a store of value and treat it as such. But just on the yield part, we are actually busy with a variety of new features in our app to provide gold a yield. So if you own gold on our platform, you'll be able to actually earn interest in gold. But that's, within the next few months, so stay tuned.
Well, I'm busy putting your app on now. Just tell me about the other features of the app while we're talking about it.
The base features, obviously, the frictionless buying and selling in any quantity. Then you have the redeem and upload features where you either gain physical possession or you upload your Krugerrands, as we've mentioned. Then one of our features that we're rolling out now, it's live in the app, is the pay feature, Troy Pay. So you can effectively pay anyone in gold, anyone that's registered on the platform. And we're in the process of signing up a few merchants to that as well. A network of 5,000 merchants, so you'll be able to use your gold.
And it's in real time, the prices and everything else?
Yeah, so it's. I think that one of the key pain points that we tried to solve was that acquisition process or that buying process and the selling process as well. So we have 24/7 liquidity. You're not finding somebody to try and take your gold. You can buy and sell 24/7, and pricing is live. So we actually run live pricing. Most of the other sort of gold dealers in South Africa, you get sort of one price or two prices a day. Ours runs when the markets are open, you can buy and sell. But we went mobile. We mentioned sort of anybody should own gold, and we went mobile purely because we looked at Africa and South Africa and looked at mobile technology. And if you want to bring gold into the modern world, specifically here, you have to use mobile tech and you have to use smartphones. I mean, we have, I think the latest figures on smartphone penetration in SA is just over 80%. So we've got 46 million people in South Africa using a smartphone. So if you
and
want
it's not just rich people, it's everybody.
If you want everybody to own a bit of gold,
No better way than making it possible in mobile. Why did you guys name it Troy Gold? I'm curious. Because, I mean, are you history fans or is...
Well, I think we actually get that question quite a bit. Obviously, gold is weighed in troy ounces, and a troy ounce is not the same as a normal ounce, which is the one bit. But the other aspect was the old city of Troy. Now, not the movie as we're all familiar with, but it was sort of the city in the old world that was protection for those that owned gold. The city on the hill was quite impenetrable, and there was a lot of wealth there. So it was, for those that weren't in the sort of marauding tribes and the wars outside, they were citizens of Troy and they were quite well protected against the volatility and uncertainty. Nice.
You guys have built a place to store our money online.
Yeah,
an interesting fact, as we understand historically, Troy was not destroyed by the Trojan horse. It was actually just an earthquake.
So Homer was writing some fiction.
But they have discovered the actual ruins of the old Troy, and there were many cities built on top of each other, ultimately. So the archaeologists are figuring out more and more about it. Sort of northwestern Turkey, somewhere around there.
And they have a big gold culture in Turkey as well.
Definitely. Well, I mean, this makes a lot of sense. You get all the benefits of owning and using gold, but you get very, very few of the concerns that people would usually have about the safety and security of that gold, of it being stolen, of what the value actually is and how it fluctuates. All of those things are answered. But if you have any questions, people can get hold of you, right? Download the app and try it out. But also, how can we connect with you guys?
Yeah, website troygold.app and social media.
Yeah, so Troy Gold SA, that's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. But on the website and in the app, we have a 24/7 sort of chat that comes straight through to us, so you can actually pick your poison.
Fantastic! Get hold of the guys, and is it just you two, or are there a bunch of people in the staff that can address these questions?
Yeah, we are. You know, obviously we're a startup, so we do have a few communication staff, developers largely, as we are a fintech company.
Right.
So we're pretty much just running the company.
But if you want to ask us a question, we're there.
They're not going to say no. All right, very good. I love what you're doing. I think it's awesome. I'm a massive supporter, and I think everybody should have a little bit of gold because it's worked for people throughout human history. There's no reason why it wouldn't work for you. Give it a try and talk to the guys at Troy Gold, and you can go to troygold.app for more. Thanks so much, gents.
Thanks,
very
guys.
Nice to see you. As always, you can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com too, and this is the third of our episodes with the guys from Troy Gold. We got, I think, one more, and then we'll answer your questions in that one too. So if you have any, send them to us on gareth@cliffcentral.com, and I'll pose them to the guys in that last week, which is happening next week. All right. Give us a call, 079-748-2090. CliffCentral.com.